Please remember that when play is in progress, pucks will leave the ice surface at a high rate of speed.
Oh, here's Mike. Tap dance over the blue line. Cuts in the high spot. Leaves it there for Booth. The back at it. He shoots and scores! Booth gets a game tie goal. Pretty fly for a white guy.
This is the Avalanche's first look at the Racks.
They added more staff for this game tonight. 25 people are out there gathering them in.
The Florida Panthers are proud to select from the Kingston Frontenacs, Eric Goodbranson,
Jonathan Huberdeau,
Quinton Howden,
Nick Bukestad, Dmitry Kulikov.
Well, welcome to The Rat Trick, the official podcast of theRatTrick.com, which is the New York Times of Panthers news and information. We are so excited to bring you episode 2 of Rat Trick Radio. It's such a fun thing to do, and my name is Josh, and I'm really excited to be with you here today. And with me is my good friend and yours, David Lasseter.
Hey, Josh.
And of course, a special treat today, we have the senior editor of The Rat Trick and the NHL director for Fansided Sports, Frank Rikus.
Hey, Dave, Josh, how you guys doing?
Well, we're doing pretty good, and I think we're all pretty excited about being on the show today and getting a chance to talk about the Florida Panthers, which all three of us are very passionate about. And it seems that you listeners are pretty passionate about it, too. We've had so many downloads of the podcast after our very first episode, and you guys have bestowed on us such very kind comments. And so we're really excited to do this. And kind of the idea behind this podcast was to give you guys an audio component to your Florida Panthers fandom. There's so many great sites out there writing about the Panthers. Of course, George Richards with the Miami Herald and Harvey with the Sun Sentinel and others as well, Litterbox Cats and you know, all the different fan blogs, NHL Hot Stove with Bill Whitehead. And you know, we love reading those blogs and we love writing blogs, but there really wasn't an audio component. And so, you know, we're really excited to bring that to you, and we're excited that you're excited about it.
Yeah, I think the great thing is that with the way the concept has come about, really, is the changes with the Panthers, the new regime that's been put in place, all the new players, the changing of going back to the red sweaters for the home team, just all the different changes, I think, are so positive that one more thing that was probably missing was some additional news and information, and what better way to bring that to our fans and introduce that to everybody that is interested in following the Florida Panthers than by doing a podcast.
Yeah, there's definitely been, like Josh said, an audio component missing. So many great sites out there, but you know, you're not always in front of your computer. And sometimes you just want to hear people talk. You want to hear discussions, some interplay about this team. And local radio, unless Steve Goldstein's on the air at QAM, there really isn't a whole lot of that. So we're glad that the response is so positive. And it just makes us want to keep doing this even more. So here's episode 2, the second of many.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And it's an exciting time to be a Panthers fan. You know, there's so many changes going on with the team and new roster players and new management. Well, we had them last year, but, you know, getting into their prime now with players that they've picked and new coaching and new power play coach and just so much going for the Florida Panthers right now. And to be honest with you, it seems like at this point, of course, we all get psyched up before the season and feel like our team is going to make the playoffs. But really, at this point, I have a really strong feeling that this team might just make the playoffs. It seems like they have a great mix of veterans and rookies, young guys that were drafted high by Dale Tallon, and older veterans that were brought in for their leadership. And then you got the players that are like 26, 27 years old who are honestly right in the prime of their careers, coming off of their first deals, signing bigger deals to come here to Florida, and they're going to be an integral part of this team. a couple of years ago, if you told me that we were going to have guys like Scotty Upshaw and Thomas Fleischman and you know, Ed Jovanovski and Brian Campbell and all those bigger names in the NHL community, I would have shook my head at you and said you were crazy. I thought we were going to have Steven Weiss and Nathan Horton for the rest of our life and hope that maybe one of them could crack 40 one day. And you know, it's just such an exciting time. And honestly, I feel like this may be a little bit of optimism on my part, but I feel like this team has got a pretty good shot to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that, and pretty much with everything that you said there, Josh. And a lot of it really started, as we all know, way back when the trade deadline came in March, and we unloaded some people, got rid of some salary, and Dale Talon was making room to do what he did this summer. And he brought in a lot of experience. He brought in a lot of guys that are just about ready to hit their prime. You know, Sean Bergenheim hasn't been mentioned yet. He brought in Thomas Kopecky from Chicago, who's, you know, a gritty, hardworking forward. Jose Theodore, who's going to be our number one goaltender. And Brian Campbell, I think, probably got things all started when he had to waive his no-trade clause to come here. He's played for Dale before, back in Chicago. Yeah, he respects Dale. He likes Dale. And Brian is probably one of the most respected guys to have in your dressing room. And I think that move there showed that by him coming here, that he knew that we meant business, and a lot of other players were allowed to follow here and come here because they know that we mean business. We're not taking players anymore that want to come down here to retire, play golf and play tennis. There's a seriousness around here that I don't think we've seen in quite some time. And while no one's making promises other than we are going to be better, I do agree that this team has a very solid chance of being a top eight team. I think they do have a chance to make the playoffs. And one thing I do want to specifically say is while we didn't go out and get that high scoring winger or forward, so to speak, you know, the 35 to 40 goal man that we've all been looking for, I think we have a lot of balanced scoring, which is something that we haven't had in quite some time. So I think you're going to see a lot of exciting hockey. I think you're going to see players that work hard, and looks like new coach Kevin Dineen has an up-tempo system, also stressing puck possession. So hopefully we have the puck more than the opposition, and that's got to create more goals. And I think the people are going to be very pleased with some of the plays that we see and some of the games that we're going to be having.
Frank, I was just thinking the same thing as while you were talking. We don't have the high-scoring forward guy, the 40 goals, you know, the all-star. But we've got a bunch of guys who could score 20 to 25 and who have done that over the course of their career. In some cases, you know, it's been a short career, so maybe there's some upside that we haven't seen yet. Hey, I'll take, you know, three lines of guys who, you know, that have 20 goal scores on them any day. The balance scoring is huge. That way you're not relying on one line. You're not, you know, rolling out your first line, playing them too many minutes. You can split those up a little bit. And as far as the playoffs go, I would be tickled pink. I'm not expecting it. I think it could happen. It all depends on how well this team gels together and, of course, how well the goaltending situation goes. But it's definitely, you know, not beyond the realm of possibility. A lot of people have predicted the Panthers in the 13-14 range. I know the Hockey News predict them at 14. And that I just don't understand. To sit there and say that this team is going to be maybe a little bit better than they were last year is ridiculous. This is a far more talented roster from top to bottom. Defense, offense, maybe not in goal, but I think the gains that they've made on those in those other two areas will help offset any of that. So, I mean, I'd be tickled pink with the playoffs, but I think they're definitely a team that's going to be in the hunt for a good long time. Maybe they sneak in there, maybe they don't, but, you know, at this point, things are definitely going in the right direction, although I would love to go to a playoff game.
Well, one of the things that I think is really important in the playoff hunt for the Panthers is going to be goaltending. You know, with the off-season moves of getting rid of Thomas Vokoun and bringing in Jose Theodore to kind of be that number one goaltender, there's still a lot of questions, I think, in a lot of people's mind if Theodore is really going to cut it as a starting goaltender. Obviously, you know, he did well in Washington his last year there. He did decent in Minnesota this year, but or this last year as a backup. But he's not been a number one goaltender last year. And then the other option in goal, Scott Clementson, has not been a number one goaltender either. And now coming in as we record this live today to the season, we find out that we're probably going to lose Clementson for about a month. And so that really hinders the plan. I think a lot of Panthers fans thought that Clementson may have a chance to take this job from Theodore, especially after Theodore's preseason showing the other night against Tampa, and you know, first shot on goal, it's a kind of a easy shot, and he misses it. And you know, I heard people in the stands around me going, oh boy, you know, just what we need is a goaltender who can't stop the puck. But you know, Scotty Clemenson is a known commodity to an extent. I mean, he had a good season last year, 2.62 goals against average. He had a .911 save percentage. You know, it wasn't like he was awful. Of course, he only played in a handful, I think 31 games for the Panthers. But it's really going to call into question now who's going to come up to replace him. Is it going to be Jacob Markstrom? Is it going to be Tyler Plant? What are you guys thinking about that?
Well, personally, I think that when the Panthers signed Theodore, he was, in my mind, he was signed to be the number one guy. And I think you're going to see at least 50 to 55 starts out of him. And that was even my thought before Clemenson went down with his knee injury. I really think he's underestimated. Yes, he's 35 years old. Yes, he's had some bad seasons, and he's had some up-and-down seasons, and people have in the past been very unhappy with him, but you know, as you mentioned, Josh, I mean, he's had a couple very good seasons in Washington. He won 60 games in 2 years with a team that was a high-powered offense, probably not the best defense. And with Minnesota, he won 15 games there last year, and that team has virtually no offense, is all defense. So he wasn't all that bad in a backup role, which is really what he was playing last year. I don't think it's going to be such a big problem. He's not Thomas Vokoun. He doesn't have to be Thomas Vokoun. He just has to, you know, play within himself, pardon that silly phrase, but just do his job. But he's got a pretty solid defensive unit in front of him, and I don't think he's going to be a problem as much as people think. As far as the backup position with Clemenson out, I don't know if Markstrom is ready at this point, and I don't know that the Panthers want him up here sitting on the bench. I think what the Panthers want him to do is to go back down to the AHL, play some games, have a good, solid year, and then next year come up and challenge for the starting position. So it looks like we could see Tyler Plant as the backup until Clemenson comes back from the injury.
Well, I think that begs the question then, Frank. I mean, do you really think that the Florida Panthers' defense has been upgraded enough with Joe Vokop and Campbell that Jose Theodore doesn't have to be Tomas Vokoun? Because, I mean, really what Vokoun brought to the table was the ability to win hockey games every night if he needed to. Now, granted, he didn't win enough, but how much can you expect from a goaltender? Do you really think that Jose Theodore is now going to sit behind an improved enough defense to merit, you know, being able to play as well? Or do you think that we're going to score more goals? I mean, what is your thinking there?
Well, it's really a combination. I do think that the defense has been upgraded. Campbell, Jovanovski, I think another year under his belt for Dmitry Kulikov, and I think, knock on wood, the emergence of Eric Goodbranson hopefully makes the team. I think you're going to see a completely different defensive unit here. They are improved. On top of that, you're going to see more goals being scored by the Panthers. And that's got to play into the whole scheme of why they put this team together the way they did. And I think they realize that if they're not going to have Thomas Vokoun, we have an above-average goaltender, and we're going to be able to score more, and hopefully we'll have the puck more because of the style of play that we're going to have. So I really think we're going to be okay. I really do.
Yeah. Well, I guess only time will tell. Another player that I'm really excited about to see, and he had, I thought, another really good night against the Lightning. Both nights I went to Tampa to watch the Panthers play there Friday night, and I came back and watched the Panthers play here Saturday night, and they lost both times, so I feel like I heavily invested in losing this weekend. But, another guy that I was excited about, he played in both games, I thought he played very well, is Jonathan Huberdeau. Dave, I know you're a little bit of a Jonathan Huberdeau aficionado, if that's the correct term, I'm not sure, but he's French, so that sounds right. But anyway, Dave, what was your observations about the way Huberdeau played this weekend?
He just has that little bit of hockey sense that I don't think, even with the upgrades, is really that present on this team. He's got that feel for the game. And I think once he learns his teammates a little bit better, those passes that he kind of makes where I don't think anyone's really expecting it, where if they were expecting it, had a chance for something special to happen. For a guy who they say needs to put on weight, he's not afraid to go in and throw the body around a little bit. He's not a thunderous checker, but he doesn't shy away from contact, especially on the forecheck. And just the, like I said, that sense, he's got that thing when you watch him, you know, as he's behind the goal in Gretzky's office there and he's chasing a puck and he just manages to get a little backhand on it and puts it right in front of the goalie. There's nobody there, but eventually somebody's going to be there and that's going to be an easy goal for somebody. He's got that playmaking ability that this team needs. I'm not backing off what I said last time about, him making the team. I think he's going to need some minutes. I think he's going to get the tryout and eventually hope to stay here. But I know some people say, well, he should go back to junior. He's not big enough. He's not strong enough. And all I have to do is say Jeff Skinner. You know, Jeff Skinner isn't exactly a hulking guy. He's not a 6'4", 220-pound kid. He was 5'11", and he was what, maybe 180 pounds last year or something like that. Didn't seem to stop him from scoring 31 goals in the same division, 63 points. Sometimes you just need an opportunity. And hopefully Jonathan will continue to play well and get that opportunity. And I really believe if he gets the opportunity and gets the minutes, which he's getting now that Quentin Howden has been sidelined since rookie camp, I think he's going to make a strong enough impression where they say, we might have to keep him here. This kid can make plays. I don't care how much weight he needs to put on.
Well, yeah, I think it's one of those things where, Huberdeau just brings so much skill. And, watching him in Tampa and then again against Tampa in Florida, you just see that. The stat sheets might not prove how good he is, but he's making plays that are far beyond his years, far beyond his experience level, and honestly far beyond the skill of any other Panther player on the team. I mean, he just sees the ice so well. He does so many things right, particularly in Tampa. He had a chance where he passed the puck out in front of the crease to Gotch, and Gotch just fanned on it. And I can't help but thinking, man, if he was playing with a guy like Weiss or a guy like Booth or even a guy like Thomas Fleischmann who could put in that chance when he sets up the play, well, then we're going to be looking at a guy who has putting up a lot of points and contributing to this team. And I think that's really exactly what the team is looking for, don't you think, Dave?
Absolutely. Like you said, it's that the way I look at it, it's almost, if you show him one of those Rorschach tests, some people would just see a blot. He'll see a masterpiece. He just sees things differently out there on the ice than anyone that's in camp right now. And that's including some very talented veterans. I was really pleased when the Panthers drafted him. Just the ability to, almost a Magic Johnson, ability to see where someone's going to be, put the puck there, and really create easy goals. I think he'll get a lot of assists, and they keep saying, well, he's going to score a lot of goals. He's going to set up a lot of goals for teammates. I think he needs to be here. I may be in the minority. Maybe Dale Tallon doesn't think he should be here just yet. Maybe I'm a bit of a fanboy in this, but I'm in awe of the kid's ability. I hope that he stays here and we get to watch him play.
For sure, for sure. Good stuff, good stuff. Well, you know, another guy who I think his fate is kind of interesting here in training camp is Steve Reinprecht. You know, he had such a good showing, I thought, in training camp. In fact, Kevin Dineen said, yeah, he's having a good training camp. We're feeling good. He's an NHL-proven veteran. He's still under contract from last year when we sent him over and got rid of him in Europe and all of that. And, you know, then announcing today that he's been signed to San Antonio. You know, Frank, what are you thinking is the thought process behind what's going on with Reinprecht?
Well, I think the process here with him is that he just doesn't really fit into their plans, and I don't know that they want to pay someone his salary to be a third or fourth line player, probably a fourth line player, because to be perfectly honest with you, with everybody that was acquired, you know, Chris Versteeg, Scotty Upshaw, Thomas Fleischman, having David Booth, having Steven Weiss, Thomas Kopetsky, where is Reinprecht going to play? And you know, he's a nice player. A couple years ago when we signed him as a free agent, and he was still a nice player, but I think the organization is moving on and moving beyond those types of players. You're seeing a much different type of roster being put together. And deep down, I don't, as good as a camp as he's had, he just doesn't seem to fit into their plans. So I think they finally decided that we're going to move on from this and just go forward with the players that we have, because the players that we have are, you know, younger, fresher, more exciting, and probably going to be able to produce more.
Yeah, definitely. And the way I look at it, if Steven Reinprecht makes this team, then we really screwed up on July 1st, because the way I see it, there's no place for him here. I respect him as a veteran. He's been nothing but completely professional. He took the offseason, he came in great shape, and he has played well. But he's just not at the talent level. You know, he's 35 years old, and there's no place for a 35-year-old guy, unless his name is Jovanovski, I think, you know, on this team. Frank, like you said, he played well a couple years ago. It got onto a nice start 2 years ago. But if he couldn't crack the lineup last year and they were looking, you know, Pete DeBoer was looking to dump him, there's no way he makes the team this year, not with the changes that were made. And it's not surprising to me. I don't know, maybe the Islanders will pick him up. Who knows? They seem to enjoy that. But, you know, there's no place for him here.
Yeah, I think the only thing that he may bring to the Panthers down the road is towards the end of the season, where if we're making a playoff push, you need the veteran to come up, and instead of making it from a trade deadline acquisition, we've already got this guy down in the AHL, so you need someone to win some faceoffs, to provide some veteran play. I think that's where he may be used down the road, should that situation come up, unless there's someone else better that might be available. But yeah, you're right. We would have made a tremendous mistake, I think, keeping him here, or admitting that we've made a mistake with all the hard work that we did with free agency and the trades that we made. It's like I said, I don't think he fits into the plans overall.
And I don't think it's a bad thing that he's in San Antonio. Like I said, he's been very professional his entire time here. He's never a guy that went to the media to complain about not getting playing time or anything like that. And with the initiative he showed coming into camp, as good a shape as he is, as hard as he is, it's not a bad guy to have in the minors to maybe show some of these kids, okay, this is how you do it. No, I'm not a superstar, but I've been playing this game professionally for a long time. So maybe he can best be served as a mentor to some of the younger guys in San Antonio.
Yeah, good point. You know, very good point. Probably not the role that he wants, but he's been the model citizen, which is unusual these days in sports in a lot of cases. But, you know, hockey players kind of, they know their roots. They come from a tough place in many situations, and I think he can offer our youth some positives. You know, he's been through a few different situations, and I think it's going to be helpful to have him down there. And who knows? We have someone who gets hurt. It's kind of nice to call up a guy who's experienced, who knows the ropes, who's familiar with the team, who's familiar with the surroundings. You plug him in for a few games. Maybe he gets hot. Maybe he's a spark. And it will be a nice void to fill if he can do that for us.
I think it's kind of a funny thing that it wasn't too long ago that Steve Reinprecht was the big acquisition at the trade deadline, you know, in all you Aliokinen left, and we got Steve Reinprecht, and Steve Reinprecht's going to be our number two center, and, you know, it just didn't work out. But we were so excited about that, and now you see him going down to the AHL, and it's just such a vast difference than, you know, what we had all expected when he was signed.
Yeah, I think with Dale Tallon coming in, you're starting to see, or we've been starting to see, all the changes being made, and we're no longer going after just nice players. No offense to Reinprecht, he's done a great job throughout his career, but I think we're definitely moving in a different direction, and I think, Dave, you mentioned on the last podcast, you know, last year we brought in Chris Higgins, another nice player, a good veteran, a guy that has the ability to score 20 goals. But we're moving past that, and I think the direction that we're going, there isn't a spot for him. And I think even next year, when we look at free agency or even look at making some trades, you know, we're definitely going to be looking to make some upgrades. So I'm all for it.
Well, I think...
Go ahead, Josh.
Well, I think one of the things that, you know, is so exciting is just the reboot of the franchise. And you know, Steven Reinprecht used to be exciting, and now that kind of caliber player is just not exciting at all. You know, this is a team that thinks, wills, and hopes that they're going to make the playoffs. I know Brian Campbell, I thought it was pretty cool this last weekend, telling the media that not making the playoffs is now unacceptable to him, and that the team is going to make the playoffs, that they are going to push, that they're going to come, and they're going to play hard. And they might not win all the time, but if they lose, they're going to lose knowing that they played as hard as they could. And just seeing that is so exciting, and hearing that from players, hearing that from coaches, and hearing that from management. And so one of the things we wanted to do today is I have an interview here with Michael Yormark, who's the COO of Sunrise Sports and Entertainment. And he's the president of the building and of the team. And I think it'll be kind of fun to talk to him a little bit. This interview was recorded a little while back. And so you guys just enjoy the interview.
We walked in today. You came over, you patted me on the shoulder. You said this is a big day for the franchise.
It is.
Can you tell me a little bit about how you see this day as historically for the Florida Panthers?
I think this day will go down as one of the biggest days in the franchise's history. I mean, as you know, we really haven't been relevant for the last 10, 11 years, haven't been into the playoffs. It's been challenging for us. When Cliff Viner became the general partner last summer, we knew that, you know, the future was going to be bright, but quite frankly, we didn't really know how long it would take for us to turn the corner. He went out and hired Dale Tallon, which will probably go down as one of the great moves in the history of this franchise. And when Dale sat down with Cliff and I said, listen, guys, you know, I'll get this franchise to where it needs to be. It's going to take some time. Got to be patient. I want to do it first class. I want to put together a plan, and I want to execute that plan. I don't want to deviate from it. And we said, Dale, do whatever you have to do. And over the last 12 months, you know, his strategy has worked. We've gone through some pain. We took a couple of steps back, trading deadline on February 28th. But we knew that ultimately we would get to the draft and to free agency, and that, you know, we would make it happen. And because of Dale's reputation, because of Mike Santos's reputation, today is, you know, a day that has become a reality. We've got players that are highly skilled, that are either in their prime or heading into their prime, that wanted to come to Florida. And when was the last time that we had players going into their prime that said, you know what, this is the destination we want to go to. We want to be a Florida Panther. We want to play at the Bank Atlantic Center. And Dale and Mike made it happen. And so, you know, our turnaround isn't complete by any stretch of the imagination, but we're on our way now. And we have a chance to be successful. And there's hope again. There's hope for our fans. There's hope for our sponsors, for Cliff, for all of us, for our staff. Everyone believes that we have a chance now to be a special organization, to be a first-class organization, to be a winning organization. We have a chance to fill this building every single night, and we have a chance to make every Panther fan so proud to support this organization. And as the president of the team and of the building, that's all you want. That's all you hope for. And so that's why today is special, because it's filled with so much hope and optimism and excitement. And, you know, we hope the team will come together quickly. We get off to a really good start. The building is full, and people are knocking on the door to buy tickets. And you feel the passion and the energy. And, and we know we're going to get there.
Now, from a marketing perspective, you know, it looks like the NBA is locking out and the NFL's had their troubles this year.
Sure.
Does this give you an opportunity to become the premier entertainment here in South Florida?
I think it does. I think, and I hope the NBA plays. We went through a lockout, you know, 5-6 years ago, and it's not a pleasant experience for anybody. That being said, you know, would I love a window of opportunity where I may be the only show in town for a while? Of course. But I don't want that at the expense, you know, of the Heat or the Dolphins. I think ultimately, you know, we will get the support for this franchise that we deserve as long as we get on the ice, we win games, we're entertaining, and we provide the experience that our fans want.
New scoreboard, is that something that's in the possibility future for the franchise?
I will tell you that we're looking at it very closely. And we may have a surprise very shortly.
Twitter. You've been pretty active on Twitter.
Yeah.
I think fans appreciate that. They appreciate seeing your thoughts on things. We talked a little bit about that social media, why you decided to do that. I know Jonathan Bronsfeld had a little bit to do with that, but can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I believe in access. I think, you know, fans want access, whether it's to players, management, coaches. I think that's what it's all about. And I think that it's important for our fans to understand, you know, what our direction is, what my thoughts are, what's happening with the organization. They deserve to have insight. They deserve to have information perhaps that other people don't have access to. I'm a firm believer in that, and I'm going to continue to do it. You got to be careful, and sometimes you get a little overzealous, but the reality is this business is about access, and the fan is so important. They're the most important part of it, and I want fans to understand exactly what we're doing all the time, and I want as many followers as I can get. So I'm a big believer in social media. I'm a big believer in Twitter, and I'll continue to be active.
You encourage the players to be a part of that?
I think so, yeah. I mean, you know, listen, we got a lot of great personalities now on this team, and I know some of the guys tweet. We drafted a guy last week, Rocco Grimaldi, who will be in town this weekend, and his first tweet was, "I'm taking my act to South Beach."
Yeah, that was great.
You know, and it was a playoff of LeBron James from last summer. Mm-hmm. That's good stuff. You know, we want our fans to know that our players are not just great athletes and elite athletes and great hockey players, but they have great personalities. And we want our fans to get to know these personalities. And I think Twitter's a great way to do that.
All right. That's some good stuff from Michael talking about, you know, how excited he is about the team. You know, guys, when you listen to Michael talk with such enthusiasm, Frank, how do you feel, you know, going into the season knowing this guy is almost as excited as a Panthers fan about what's going to happen?
Well, I think that's, you know, one of the neat things about the people in the Panthers organization. They're all very pumped up. They're very excited. And like you and Dave both, we've all three of us have had a chance to speak with Michael on various occasions. And he's never been more excited than he's been this year. I think with the influx of everybody that's been brought in, the new outlook of the team, it's really refreshing to actually hear him talk and be with him for a few minutes and get the feeling that, you know, he's really pumped up for the season.
Absolutely. And I thought it was interesting where he said, "Hey, you know, I want this team to succeed, but not at the expense because, you know, of an NBA lockout or anything like that." I kind of like that attitude to say, "Hey, we don't need a lockout or, you know, or the Dolphins to do poorly to get attention. We want the hockey here to get attention on its own because it's a good product. And this is the best product that has been in this town for, you know, probably 10 years. You know, I know a couple of years ago, the Panthers just missed the playoffs, but I think this team talent-wise is probably a lot better. It's certainly filled with a lot more NHL guys than in years past. So it is good to hear someone like your Mark, you know, go ahead and get pumped up to it, you know. And I know a lot of his duties are, you know, sponsors and things like that. Well, now he's got something that he can really be excited about genuinely and sell, you know, to ticket holders or whoever.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely lends that opportunity for your Mark to, you know, market the tickets and get the people in the building. And it's way more fun to be a fan in a full building than it is in an empty building. And, you know, I love some of the stuff they're doing this year with the no away fans allowed zone and, you know, all that stuff. In fact, today I was driving in Fort Lauderdale and I saw a city bus with the wrap of the We See Red all around the bus and the Panthers logos and everything. And it's just it's an awesome thing to see. And I'm excited about it. Well, here's we have another interview for this show. On Friday night, I got a chance to drive over to Tampa on that long drive, and watch the game in Tampa. And afterwards, I got a chance to catch up with Jack Skilly and hear a little bit about his thoughts on that game that night, and also a little bit about Twitter and some social media stuff. And so let's listen to that interview now.
All right, Jack, talk about what it's like this season coming over. Obviously, you've got a couple of former teammates in the Blackhawks coming over with Kopechke and Brian Campbell. How you feeling, you know, coming into the season? You got your preseason game in here tonight.
Feeling pretty good. You know, wish we could have pulled off that win there. That's it's a you know, pretty good effort, you know, for the most part from this group. You know, they put their pretty much their A team out at us tonight, and you know, this group that we had a lot to prove. I think we played overall for the most part pretty well, but obviously there are moments during that game where you know, I feel like we could have played a little bit smarter, could have played a little bit faster, use our feet some more. But as far as the guys that from Chicago go, it's good to have them on board. Obviously, those guys know what it takes to win, and having them in the locker room is a big thing for young guys, and just to learn from their leadership and learn the right way to do things.
Is it intimidating for you when you come out into this game and you see, you know, LeCavier and San Luis and Stamkos, and obviously some of your bigger teammates are back home? Is that something that you guys are concerned with, or you just go out and try to play hockey?
Well, like I said earlier, you know, this group, we had a lot to prove. And we had that mentality going in. You know, we weren't worried at all. We wanted to go out there and show, you know, obviously it's about showing the people in the stands right now that where we can play at this level. And, you know, a lot of the young guys here, a couple of the young guys here never played against guys like that from that, you know, that power that they have and that skill and finesse. So it was good for them to see, you know, maybe just see where they're at, learn from that. And, you know, obviously I think we're going to move on here and try to win tomorrow night.
Walk me through that goal you scored. It was a pretty sweet little tip-in. How did that, you know, come about? Where were you seeing?
Well, you know, it was a regroup in the neutral zone, and I saw a moment to kind of jump in the middle, and right when I jumped there, you know, I got a good pass there up the gut, and, you know, went in, and I just had a little bit to shoot at there and kind of just ripped her. That's all I did. It was as simple as that, and I was fortunate for it to go in.
And you're a pretty active guy on Twitter. What's it like now having a bunch of your teammates on Twitter there with you? You guys having fun with that?
It's good. It's great. You know, it's good to, you know, poke fun at each other every once in a while. You know, post some pictures that, you know, you see every day. You know, I remember one where I just saw some weird guy with the cardboard window up in his car, which was kind of goofy. So, you know, having fun like that and getting, you know, maybe some laughs out of the fans. And, you know, that's what it's all about, you know, having, you know, showing the fans, like, you know, what kind of a person you are, and obviously using it the right way. Thanks.
This is Eric Branson, and you're listening to Rat Trick Radio.
Good stuff. You gotta love Jack Skilly. He's such a character guy. And what did you guys think of that interview, Dave? You know, I know Jack Skilly's a guy that you like a lot. You know, what did you think of what he had to say?
Well, I love the fact that he's kind of ticked off that they didn't win that game, even though it's just a preseason game and everyone says, oh, it's preseason. You got to love his competitive ability or his competitiveness to say, hey, preseason game, I want to win it. You know, it's making me mad. I want to let's beat him again the next night. Of course, that didn't happen, but that's another story. But, you know, that desire to win is something that you know, that we need. I don't know how much you know, Jack is going to factor into the team this season, but you need guys who just hate to lose. I think it was Vince Lombardi who used to say that, you know, winning's a habit, so is losing. Losing has sort of been the habit of this team. So to have guys, you know, burn that much, you know, just to win a preseason game, it's a welcome change.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you on that, Dave. I mean, obviously Jack comes from a winning organization, being with the Blackhawks. Was there even as a part-timer spot player when they won the Stanley Cup championship in 2010. But he's got the, you know, the pedigree of wanting to be on a winning team. And I think if, you know, a guy like him, depending on how much he figures into the plans, can just bring that attitude here, which, like you said, is something that we haven't seen as a whole for quite some time. I think that definitely is part of the change of the culture and the types of players that Dale Tallon has tried to bring over here, players who have character, players who care, and players who want to play every night. It's really a refreshing thing to hear that someone is upset about losing a preseason game. And I think that just kind of spreads through the dressing room and will spread throughout the team.
Yeah, for sure. And Jack's such a great guy. I think both of you guys follow him on Twitter, and he's just got a great personality, and he's a lot of fun to listen to talk to, and just a great all-around guy. And so it was a lot of fun to talk to him. Now, I think that Jack is going to have that option again, you know, like he was with Chicago, being that kind of fourth-line energy guy. But he had an option to move up, and I think that's going to be exactly where he's going to be this year, is a third or fourth-line guy with a big chance to come up and to play for this Panthers team and to be good for them. And I really hope he does that, because I like him a lot as a person, and I hope that he can bring some skilly to the team when they need it. So, Frank, you know, this week coming up, we've got a preseason game against the Dallas Stars. We got some other stuff going on, some more roster cuts and such like that. What are your thoughts coming up into this week? What is the state of yourself as a Panthers fan right now?
Well, I'm certainly excited about the preseason winding down. Looking forward to seeing how the Panthers actually do in these next two preseason games, both against Dallas. I'm really looking for the cohesion to kind of come into play here, you know, on Saturday night when we were at the game. It was the first time that a lot of those players had played their first preseason game, as well as played together. So I'm thinking that these next two games are really going to show us what the team is more capable of doing. And I think we're also going to get a much better look at a few players who are still kind of on the bubble. I think we're going to have a pretty good idea what our defense is actually going to look like by the time Thursday night's game is over. You know, we've got some cuts that are going to have to be made, or people sent back to the AHL or juniors, depending on who you are. But I'm very excited as we wind down here. I'm just chomping at the bit to see what this roster looks like. But again, I'm excited to see the season get to where it is. I think the players are starting to get their comfortable factor there. I think the next couple games, and with the week ending of practices, things are going to come together just fine. And I think the important thing is having a quick start when we start the season. I think that's something that we haven't had in quite some time. So I'm really looking forward to it, and I think things are going to gel, and it's going to be a great start to the year.
The way I look at, you know, this coming week, you know, like Frank said, two games against the Dallas Stars, is who wants a job, especially in the forwards? Who wants to be here? Who's going to force me to keep them here? There's a lot of spots up for grabs, and Kevin and Dale even said as much today. You know, no roster spots guaranteed. You know, I'm a big Evgeny Dadonov fan. His spot's not guaranteed. Jack Skilly, is Tim Kennedy going to take somebody's job? These next two games and the practices in between are going to go a long way as to how this team is going to start the season. And I love the fact that there's competition here. Usually at this time every year, we can pencil in who's going to be there, say for one or two players, and it's usually the fourth line. The way I look at it, you know, there's a lot of, you know, I think the first line is probably set. I like the line the other night of Weiss and Versteeg and Fleischmann. But outside of that, who wants the minutes? Who wants to be here? Who's going to impress the coaches and Dale Tallon? And I love it. You know, we haven't had this kind of stuff here in a long time. There may be some very good players who might have to go back to San Antonio because they just didn't make the cut.
Yeah, I got to agree with you on that, Dave. The competition hasn't been this fierce in quite some time, and I think there's going to be some surprises. I just got a funny feeling that, you know, Kevin Dineen, Craig Ramsey, they've got some surprises up their sleeve. And you mentioned Tim Kennedy. He wants to be here, and he kind of felt a little slighted, I think, last year having to play down in the AHL, and he wants to be, and he thinks he is an NHL player, he might be able to earn himself a spot. Evgeny Dadonov, as you said, no guarantee he's going to be here. So it's interesting now that we have players fighting not only for position on lines, but actually a position on the roster itself. And it's something that we haven't seen in quite a while.
Yeah, for sure. It's just really exciting to see all the changes and coming into the end of the preseason, coming into the week, and just seeing what's going to happen. It's an exciting time to be a Panthers fan, and so we're going to press on. We're going to be at the preseason games or watching them online or whatever we need to do, and get excited and get ready for the season that's going to begin against the Islanders. And hopefully we can have a team that we are very proud of at the end of the season. I think that there's a really real possibility of that. And so I'm excited about it. Well, let me give you some ways that you can reach us here at Rat Trick Radio. The first way is via our email address, which is rattrickradio@gmail.com. Again, that's rattrickradio@gmail.com. And you can also follow us on our respective Twitter handles. Mine is @JoshLicht, which is my name. And I know it's a hard one to spell, so I'll spell it out for you. It's JOSHLUECHT. And you can Twitter me there and talk about the Panthers, and I'm always up for talking about the team. And from time to time, I'll put some news and information up there for you. We also have Frank, who his Twitter handle is very easy to remember, @TheRatTrick. And you can find him on Twitter. And, of course, Dave Lassiter. You can find him @DavidLassiter. And so, you know, it's really an exciting thing. We love to interact with you guys. The feedback for the first show was enormous. We do apologize if there's any audio difficulty with the podcast tonight. We had some difficulty getting all our connections, and we ended up starting quite a bit later than we wanted to. But, you know, give us time. We have all the right equipment. It's just figuring out how to set all the settings correctly. And pretty soon here you're going to have a high-quality podcast. Hopefully you already think it's a high-quality podcast, and we're excited to do it. You guys have any final thoughts, Frank?
Just can't wait for the start of the season. I haven't been looking forward to the beginning of a Panther season with such optimism in years, and I think you guys feel that way too. So just really looking forward to October, getting here in October 8th starting.
Yeah, I share the same enthusiasm. You know, I've had a little countdown widget on my phone, and I did it about 2 months ago, and it seemed like forever. You know, we've seen 60 and 50 and, you know, those kind of days. Well, right now we're down to sub-teens. We are closing in. I can't wait. Should be a fun season no matter what happens. I think, you know, the Florida Panthers are going to make a little bit of noise and hopefully stick around.
Well, at the very least, continue to read our articles and blog at therattrick.com, which is your New York Times of Florida Panthers news and information. And we look forward to interacting with you. Thank you for listening.
This podcast is not endorsed by the National Hockey League or the Florida Panthers. All names, players' names, descriptions, and accounts, etc., are the express property of the Florida Panthers, Sunrise Sports and Entertainment, and the National Hockey League, or their respective copyright holders. All other content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Fansided LLC and therattrick.com. For more information, visit fansided.com.